This is a Glassbox Media Podcast.
We went to Italy. That's exactly what happened to us. Our flight was landing late. So I don't even remember. It was like fog or nonsense. And it was like across the airport. We weren't super far, but far enough where you still, and I think it was Minneapolis or some nonsense like that. I don't remember. At any rate, we're running. And like, no, Newark. It was Newark Airport because we weren't flying Delta. It was Newark Airport. And we're like fucking, like I'm having like, I get asthma.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
pretty bad. Like if I like exercise induced asthma, really bad. And I'm literally like heaving, not getting breaths, almost about to puke. Poor Chris is running behind me. Like we see this like cart of people like driving by and we're like, oh my God, can we please jump on? We're going to miss our flight. And they let us jump on. They're like, come on. Bless. So we jumped on with them. They dropped us off.
Kindness
and we're like, oh my God,
strangers.
Thank you.
Honestly.
And they were like literally calling our names and like we're about to shut the
that
door.
It makes my pit sweat to think about.
Was, and then I went to the bathroom because I thought I was going to vomit. Like I was couldn't get a breath.
And oh, have you ever vomited on? In an airplane,
ugh.
I have, and it is the unpleasant.
Can't do that.
I don't like to use the bathroom on an airplane, period.
No.
Like, I have probably almost broke my bladder holding it on a plane because I'm like, I don't want to. I just don't want to. Anthony gave me a muscle relaxer on a plane. I don't even remember why, but it made me so sick.
Ooh,
I had like chills.
No.
I was like sweating and like I felt so nauseous that I had to get up. I threw up on the plane in the bathroom.
Oh,
it was horrifying.
Please tell me you stood while you did it because you can't get on your knees on that.
Oh God, no. I mean, yeah, it was like you're bent over, but you can't even bend over that far because there's not space.
Yeah, and where you put your hands.
I am a tall for a female. So airport chairs feel like Spanish Inquisition torture devices to me. There is absolutely no position that is comfortable for more than 10 minutes. So I am the worst person to sit next to on a plane because I am massively uncomfortable and I'm just struggling to find a place to put all the limbs.
Yeah.
That I have.
Well, those seats are ridiculously small too. They really are.
Girl.
And like my ex-boyfriend was 6'7" and we flew Allegiant. And you know, like those seats are like, it's like 12 inches of space between you and the seat in front of you.
It's so fucked up. It really
so small.
Is fucked up.
I remember looking because, you know, I sat down. I'm not a big person. And like I sat down once in an airplane and like when you sit down, if you got large thighs, your thighs expand when you sit. And I sat down and I looked down and there was maybe, I don't know, like an inch and a half on either side, like that before, like in the seat.
Oh, you get to see the seat when your legs are flat. That's cute.
But it just
I'm
made
all
me
grown
think
up these
I was just
thighs.
Like, what? How? Like, who is this made for?
It's
only
made,
you.
It's made for eat the rich. It's made to shove as many people as you can, as uncomfortably as you can. And see, I'm old enough to remember when my mom would like fly places that we used to be able to take her right to her fucking gate. That it was
pre 9/11.
That it was very much like. It was just starting to become like an Airbus. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where there's still like a tinge of
dignity.
Dignity.
Yes.
Being in the airport, I literally think the only thing worse than the airport in my mind is like the DMV.
Oh, yeah.
But
DMV is worse.
It's so awful.
Yeah.
Like the whole experience. And the when we
stress,
were,
especially if you're going without like any status or if you're just, I mean, like honestly, and everybody's like, how do you feel about not traveling so much? I'm like, it's a double edge for me. I love actually, I'm loving being able to be home and coming home at the end of the night. Like, no, I'm loving this.
I was baller status.
I had all those upgrades. I got those priority access. I got that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, if you're going through as a full peasant, as I travel,
I can't live that life. If I got stuck in steerage, I was not having a good day.
The last two times I flew, I was going home to visit my family and I was working from home, but I also needed my personal computer. So I had two laptops.
Oh, how dare you?
And going through, let me tell you, the mental gymnastics I had to go through to try. I feel like I was that like blonde lady doing math meme where I was like, okay, how am I going to get through security? You have 8 million of those little plastic things because each laptop has to be in its own thing. Yeah. So you're having to pull those out. And then
the person behind you is like staring you down like when you're done.
Uh-huh. Chop, chop. Because they're trying to get through.
And then you got
to
reload that shit.
Yeah. And you got to take off your shoes and you got to get those on. You got to get your jacket on. You got to make sure your pockets are empty. Like the amount of I would sweat so much just going through the security line because I was just like, I'd like unzip my boots before I got over there, take off my jacket before I got up there.
Yeah.
I kept both of my laptops in my purse so that I could pull them out easily. Oh God, just nightmare status.
Girl, I'm going to tell you right now, see, if you get this job where you're going to be traveling, we'll have a chitty chat chat.
Yeah.
About
I need to know because I get scoop. So there's anxious ways you can do it. Crowds. Yeah. Crowds make me very, very nervous. And here's the other thing. When I did travel internationally,
here's something I have a problem with.
Okay.
There is no reason there should not be a motherfucking bar in an international terminal.
I mean,
what the fuck? Charles de Gaulle Airport does not have one. No, they have a newsstand. You can buy a Diet Coke if you want. But I'm like, if I'm staring down the barrel of a fucking 12-hour flight, I'm going to need something stronger. The thing
is, I am so confused by this. You're telling me I've never gone into Charles de Gaulle because we didn't. Just kidding. We did fly in there, but it was just flying in from Florence. So it was a small, short trip. And it was, you know, and we didn't spend time at the airport is my point.
No, the international terminal that I was in for Charles de Gaulle did not have a bar.
I do not fly internationally or domestically without a Bloody Mary, period.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
On the plane or in the terminal, it doesn't matter, but I am ordering one at some point during this trip. It is tradition at this point.
That's right. Yeah.
I will not fly. I refuse.
Mine's just tomato juice.
Mine is a Bloody Mary because specifically I've had a Bloody Mary before every flight and the plane doesn't crash. So there that means.
Well, that's science.
That's science. Science.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Girl, I follow that thread entirely. Okay. That maths out.
Do either of you ever feel anxious about ordering a alcoholic beverage when you're on a plane by yourself? Because I do it. Oh, I do it.
Oh, me too.
But like, every time I'm like, I feel like I'm being judged by the other people in
the
row.
Give a fuck.
And because I'm like, I'll take a double Bloody Mary always. That's always what I order on a plane. A double Bloody Mary.
I don't give a fuck.
Two little bottles of Tito's.
Because I don't give a fuck if the person beside me is drinking too. Because I can't give a fuck.
Cheers. Yeah. What is the wildest thing that you've seen someone do on an airport? Because I've got something in my head that I'm like,
at an airport or on a plane?
On a plane.
I've seen some real I traveled a lot.
I bet you have.
I have some real pet peeve things that happen.
Yeah. People putting their bare feet.
God bless America. Their dirty ass shoes.
In between.
Get your fucking feet
your
out.
Your fucking feet.
Don't think for one. If you had a dirty ass foot.
Your Cheeto feet.
If it was blank ass foot, no shoes, I'm poking that shit.
No.
Get out of here.
Your Rapunzel hair.
The fuck out of here.
Just basic human like decency.
Okay. I got one for you.
Okay.
This one really, really bothers me.
Okay.
Actually, I have a few things that I want to talk about. Now it's triggered me.
She's like, this is what we play for. This is what I've been waiting for.
I've waited years for this podcast.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I hate when it's cold somewhere, right? You're mm-hmm. in Detroit, you're mm-hmm. in Columbus, you're mm-hmm. wherever. And yeah. they specifically say, please do not put your coats in the overhead oh. until everyone has put their baggage Honey. Away. You always got that big white motherfucker.
Karen and Kevin's just God, putting their coats in
it's
there.
It's always a Kevin. It's Kevin's and Chad's all day with their big ass fucking fluffy ass coats. Not even trying to put it on their bag. Just taking up fucking yeah. space. Yep.
Always. Yep. There's always someone yep. doing that.
I and always put my it. Backpack underneath my seat because that is what human courtesy looks like, you fucking monsters.
People yep. putting their purses.
How to.
Yes, I've seen it.
Sometimes, and you got the bulkhead people who have to put their shit up there and they have nowhere to put their shit because you've got these morons.
I sometimes wonder, like, if just something about being on a plane makes people think, like, it's just such it's like a, like, blinders.
Yeah.
Blinders on where it's just like, me, 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 me.
Yeah.
And there's no thought Mm-mm. of other people sometimes because you just, like, you watching people. Like, I, one time, and I will never do this again, but when I was living out of town and I flew home to Ohio, I took a red eye one time, which I red do eyes, not like.
I hate them
a
too.
Red eye.
But I won't do it
also
anymore.
Was in a middle seat.
Ma'am.
And I do not like being touched by strangers. So the airport no, and airplanes do. Are hell for me in that respect. But this person was all up in my physical, to the point where they're like,
do you mind?
No.
On
that happened to me.
They're on me.
That happened to me in an internet. I think we talked about this Ooh. On this podcast.
I think people do shit like that on purpose. Like, for, I think they're.
You want to get murdered today? Why? Yeah.
No, I think that there's like people who are creeps like that who would just like try to like creep in on your space and shit. Mm. I'd be like, I'd have words. Like, there I'd be like,
this,
do you mind?
There was please? This woman. I think I told you guys this on this podcast, but there was this woman when we were flying to Korea, we were flying to Seoul. And it's a long flight, and we were in the middle. I was in a middle seat
oh, fuck.
On an international flight.
No.
And this woman, she, like, took her shoes off. She made
Honey, you moving
she
in?
Made her mm. home oh. in her seat next to me.
I am like, cringing.
Yeah, she, like, had, she was all, like, her stuff was everywhere. It's like she spread out mm. like all of her mm. shit was everywhere no. and then she was like trying to lay down. I don't know where no. her feet were, probably in the seat in front of
oh,
us
no.
But her upper body was like leaning up against me, like no. up against my
fucking I was like not. No 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 I'm gonna say it right here
going on the record.
Ladies, people cannot treat you like that. You can tell people to back the fuck up off you.
Right.
You don't. No, I'm not your fucking sleeping bag, your fucking pillow.
I don't know you,
I
ma'am.
Don't want you in my space. Please do not touch me. And guess what? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? No, I like, no, fucking get off of me.
Yeah.
Or I am going to call the flight attendant. Oh, it's such a Karen-y feel, fucking move. But like, I'm 911, but I'm just like, come on.
No, it's no. rude.
It's like, rude. You are completely invading people's personal space. It is so invasive.
It's so invasive. Ugh. It's so uncomfortable. You know, you and have me. This was years ago.
Kick in my chair.
Amen. Ago, preach it.
Super non-confrontational Christina, like super Midwestern, was just like oh, suffer in silence.
This is fine.
But yeah. Oh, I, oh man. But yeah, that's traveling. Ooh. Stresses me out.
Okay,
yeah. Stresses me out.
This brings me to another thing that I want to talk to you guys about planes. Yes, you go first.
Oh, sorry. You're still talking planes. I just didn't want to go. Okay.
Still talking planes.
Cool.
We just talked about how gross airport bathrooms are. I mean, airplane bathrooms. They're fine. I can tell that they're clean.
You do what you can, I guess.
You do what you can in that situation. But Mile High Club. Mm-mm. People who fuck
nah.
in airplane bathrooms.
Absolutely not.
Why?
I'm not in the mood.
No.
I am okay. not in Thank you. The
no.
fucking
and
mood.
And my anxiety no. being like, so, you know, fucking little Jimmy Listen. Has to take a shit and we're in here. Like, there's two bathrooms. Like, no. thinking about people waiting for you.
No.
Also, it's uncomfortable. Like, those things no. are so small. Like, how? Like, they're like, oh, you sit on the sink. And I'm like, what sink? It's like 4 inches wide. Yeah.
I've never, and there's no. nothing about being on an airplane that I'm like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't like it here. I'm just trying to get where I'm going. Yeah. There's nothing going on down there that's going to be pleasant for me. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I'm like, I will be flying with Eric in, you know, post these trying times kind of thing. And I'm like, I'm just not in the mood.
No.
Not in the mood.
Absolutely not.
No.
Especially not in that stinking ass bathroom.
Ugh. No.
I'm sorry. They're not going to be quiet enough.
No. How? Because even just like, even if you can be quiet, which we know is not my strong suit, but if you can be quiet, right? Even just the act of thrusting.
I just know.
There's going to be a thump, 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 thump.
Come on. See, no. That's why I think Mile High Club is a myth.
Right? Like urban legend.
I think it's urban legend myth. I mean, hey, send me your stories.
You know what
I'm here for?
I have done. What's in that? An airplane bathroom?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Cocaine?
Right off the seat. No. Vaped. Now, it's really difficult because you lose pressure. So, I mean, I'll say here, and only on the international flight, because it was like 8 hours and I was going to murder somebody. So I did it. I snuck in. I got away with it.
Oh shit!
I did it. I
stick it to the man. I don't recommend this.
No, it was bad. It was bad. And
do as I say, since, not as I do.
Since gotten nicotine gum for when I fly.
Good idea. Know?
And it is what it is.
Yeah.
Don't try that at home. It didn't work very well, like I said, because you're up so high, the pressure. It just doesn't work. It leaks everywhere. It doesn't work. Gosh. You can't even really do it.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. So,
interessante.
Indeed.
Don't do it.
Okay. One more thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is controversial.
Okay.
Okay. Because there's people out there who are like, when the plane lands, why are you standing?
Yeah.
Mine is the opposite, which is the plane has landed. The bell has rung. Get out of your fucking seat and away from me immediately.
Thank you.
If not sooner.
Thank you.
Stand the fuck up.
I stand. I'm ready.
Get out of the way.
I'm ready.
I'm not saying if you're in the middle seat, stand up, or you're in the window seat, but if you're in the aisle seat, stand up. Start getting your stuff so that when it's time to get off this fucking plane, we can get off this motherfucking plane.
Here are my thoughts.
Okay.
Because I am typically team don't stand up, but that's because if I have to choose, I always choose a window seat so that I can lean up against it and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that is typically where I sit. And to me, I, one, don't see any, because if I do stand up, then I'm just sitting there with my neck cracked like this, like underneath the overhead waiting.
But my back has been in that crick for longer.
So. I would rather just stay seated. And then the other part of that, but if you're in the aisle, completely different. But if you are in the aisle, do not be that asshole who is in row 27,
girl,
who stands up before everybody else and tries to get their shit and get ahead. We go row by row.
Yes. There's rules.
There are rules.
Unless they have come on and announced.
Yes.
There has been times when they come on and they're like,
indeed.
Hey,
if you have
we have a
connecting
few people that are running late. So if everybody could just stay tight for
then
just
don't
a minute.
Be that dick.
Yeah.
Who you. Stands up and when
blocks
you don't,
everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're in agreement. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm so glad we got that out. I've been holding that. I didn't even realize. I feel Lord. Like a weight's been lifted.
We got to get people ready to travel again. Yes. These are really important tips.
Mm. And they're especially important because people have forgotten how to act.
Mm.
Like being in quarantine, I have been out and I'm now fully vaxxed. Mm-hmm. Praise.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been out amongst the masses.
Yeah.
A few times, not a lot. I haven't eaten inside anywhere, but I have eaten outdoors. And the way people are behaving.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Because they're all like partially feral now.
Yeah.
And like they completely forgot their table manners. Like they just have no like concept of like how they're supposed to behave in public. So I can only imagine what flying is going to be like with people who like they don't know how to act. Period.
I saw somebody pull in to the grocery store and pull in and park and hit another car. The other day.
And just drive off.
And then pull out. And I mean, they scraped the fuck out of the side of this car.
Furious.
And then they just drove off, making eye contact with us, standing about the gate. I'm like, people. And then we went into the grocery store and you just like, I'm somebody, you know, Midwestern will like nod to people or sometimes say hi, or I'll make eye contact with people, and people are just like,
girl, it's Mad Max.
Fogged.
It is over. Mad Max in the grocery store. Yeah. For real. Like, you have to go in there.
Girl, Instacart.
Ready. With a plan. Like, with a plan. I saw a guy at the grocery store. This is when I was just like, oh, yeah, no. People don't give a single shit anymore. Like, I saw a guy in the grocery store straight up in his pajamas, like slippers. And like straight, damn. Just like didn't get dressed. Like rolled out and was like, no. You know.
Not today. You
know, I need to go pairs. Run some errands.
Yeah, I need pairs.
I was like, okay. I mean, look, man. You do you, I guess. Like,
damn.
Listen.
That's where we're at.
It is where we're at.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Well, by the way, this is My Worst Date. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie. I think it's important to discuss something that was shared. I think I shared it on our page, which was that Dudeface, Prince Philip.
William.
Sorry. Prince William was apparently somehow voted hottest bald.
Voted.
It had to have been some weird random website. Like, this was not agreed upon by the masses. And this is as someone who, like, I thought Prince William, when he was young, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, he's so cute. Like, when he was, like, you know, a teenager, I was like, oh, Prince William is so cute. But listen, nobody is looking at Prince William now and being like,
that's the sexiest
bald man alive. Like, I'm not trying to shame him. I'm just saying there are a lot of sexy bald men.
Dude.
And it just ain't him.
And it's not you, boo. It's okay. You got a lot of other things.
Yeah. You got money.
You got,
you got extra money now that your brother ain't getting none.
Yeah.
You got all the money.
You got stuff going on, but it's not. Dude, and you know, I've made it very clear on the podcast. I love a bald guy.
And you have the guy with the most hair.
I know.
Yeah, a wall of hair.
But I can think of a bunch of bald guys that are like way hotter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You got Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Hotter.
Yep. The Rock.
Jason Statham.
Hotter. Yep.
The Tooch. The was Tooch. The one that kept being mentioned. Stanley Tucci, our king. Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
Bald Who king. Else? I'm going to look up.
A lot of good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going
Lots
to
Lots of men look good with no hair, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. But to the audacity. For someone to say.
Why? Like, who? And it was right after the interview. I'm like, this was their PR team being like, I don't know, throw something against the wall, see if it sticks. Because, like, it was right after the interview with Meghan and Harry. And I was like,
okay.
Are you trying to.
According to his grandmother? Like, come on. Like, my mommy thinks I'm the best hairstylist too. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many. Why are they saying Matt Damon? Someone put Matt Damon.
He's not bald.
He's not bald.
Not bald.
LL Cool J, Tay Diggs.
Yep. Yes, and yes.
Yes, and yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Andre Agassi, Billy Zane, Michael Jordan, Vin Diesel, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go with the top three bald male celebrities.
All right.
Okay. All three of these, I think, are more attractive than Prince William.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
You got Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We've done multiple times on this podcast.
And would still do multiple
and would
times.
Do over and over again.
Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Jason Statham.
Okay.
Fuck, marry, kill.
All right. Ooh-wee. I am going to marry Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Good move. You might be first lady someday.
Huh?
Did you hear about that?
What's that?
He's like,
I'll vote for that. I'll vote for that. I got my... Put my vote in for him. I'm going to marry him. And I would make a very fine first lady, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I'd like to see your Christmas decor.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Me too.
Can you imagine someone with knuckle tattoos being the first lady?
Yeah. Oh, I can't
I'm here
wait.
For it. Okay. And then I am... Okay, we got Statham and Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
This one's actually kind of hard for me. The more I'm, like, thinking, I'm like,
it is hard.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very personal for all of us.
Yeah. I think I'm going to fuck Statham. Like, I don't.
A little dangerous.
A little dangerous, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, accent. I like it.
I feel like Bruce Willis might cry after.
He does have emotions. He can be a little, like, cheesy sometimes.
I kind of like cheese, though.
I think. Oh, this is so hard.
It's very hard. It's very hard.
I know. I couldn't even say I'm going to kill. But I guess that's what I'm doing.
It's been inferred. Yes.
Yeah. Statham, yeah. I just, you're right, danger.
There's an He's edge. There's danger, an edge, right? Which I do I, like.
I'm going to marry Jason Statham.
Okay, okay.
You
I'm
would.
Here for that accent. It's, I'm okay. Here for that highway yeah. to the danger zone. Mm-hmm. I'm here yeah. for...
But you know what? He's somebody who seems tough and is tough, but would then make you pancakes in the morning.
Oh,
you
yeah. know?
Like, I get that vibe.
I feel like I would do things sexually with him.
Yeah.
That are like very exciting and like, but he would be sweet. He would be the person that would wake up early.
He would. And make, you already make got pancakes, pancakes, yeah,
and just be like fresh, a total gentleman. Juice.
Yeah, yes. he'll break somebody's hand for yeah. like touching your butt in public.
Yeah,
but he will make you breakfast in the morning. You know.
Yeah, I'm like yeah. blushing. My face is
I
hot.
Know. I think can it's. Tell. I think smitten. It's.
Yeah, I think that's a good vibe for me.
It's good. I like that for you.
And then I think I'm going to have a really fantastic, fun one-night stand with The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think he'd be fun. I yeah. think sex with him would be like super just like fun. And I think the whole night, it'd be like drinks. I can see him having yeah. fun with the friend group.
Yes.
Like, it'd just be fun. It'd be total yeah. fun. I don't have a vibe with him that I think...
It's the barbecue house for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got a real nice pool with a waterfall.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So I actually like Bruce Willis. I like the relationship that he had with Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher and that they were able to like make that whole co-parenting Co-mingle, situation yeah. work.
You know, it sealed the deal for me
yeah.
with Bruce Willis. That blues band.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. The thing that everyone tries to forget. But oh, it was honey. It happened. Sir.
But you know what? I like a little cheese. I do like a little cheese. However, mm-hmm. I also feel like The Rock's a little cheesy.
Oh yeah. The right kind of cheese.
And he's
it's
fun.
Like a Gouda.
Yeah, and he's fun. I'm gonna marry The Rock.
Oh yeah.
I think that's a good okay. vibe. Be a fun vibe.
I'll be honest. I will back out of the first lady position because you know what? You guys, you'd make such a fabulous first lady.
Thank you so much.
And I would vote for you oh, times a 100. So you guys would be a power couple.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm going to have like social causes,
yes.
my first lady like thing. Oh, I'm going to be so excited to decorate for Christmas.
So
you guys are all going to come over for Christmas. Oh, I am stoked. Yes. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to marry The Rock. I too am going to fuck Jason Statham. I think.
Yeah.
There is
there's danger.
There
in
is a there. Sexual energy there that I can get behind.
I have a very clear, vivid image
or in front of.
Of yeah, exactly.
Either way, either
of
way.
Him like saying something really dirty in my ear mm-hmm. in that accent, like from behind me, and I'm like,
he
here
is the
for
one.
It.
He's the one that you can most easily picture having sex with. Mm-hmm. Like he mm-hmm. he has a. There's a very strong sexual energy
yes.
emanating Palpable. Off of that man.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Allegedly. Allegedly.
Yes. So, yeah, I am going to.
These are just our opinions. None of these views are.
We do not know these men. Yeah, and then I'm going to.
Yet.
I'm, do you know them? Can you hook us up?
At Jason Statham?
Shoot your shot. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and kill Bruce Willis. Nothing personal.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the others make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that journey for us.
Me too. That was a good. Whew, sorry, Prince
was
William,
a journey.
But you got.
No, I mean, Prince William versus Jason Statham.
It's not even
no,
a, it's not a contest. Get the fuck
it's,
out of here.
It's not wet, even a contest. It's wet bread.
Listen.
You know?
I would Prince Stanley William. Tucci over that. And I don't 100. Even think Stanley, he's good looking, but I'm not like
Dude,
gagging
Stanley
over
Stanley
it.
Stanley Tucci just makes me like too
He makes me smile.
Nervous.
Oh.
Like he might to be too with, smart.
He's just too Something. Together of a person that I would literally be thinking the whole time about my flaws. Like,
I was
you know
going
mean?
To say, the thing with Stanley Tucci for me, I love him.
I
but
love him.
Everyone loves him so much mm-hmm. that I'm like, you I don't can't. Know if I can bring him around because my friends, like if we ever break up, my friends are going to dump me for
yeah.
Stanley Tucci.
It's the Tucci.
It's the Tucci. Yeah. You know, the thing is like, Christina, I just envision myself bowl in a china shop like his house yes. is well put together
yeah
I accidentally bump into this chess table Ugh. It goes everywhere like mm-hmm. yeah no it's I hear what you're saying yeah.
I'd be that person that would have to like you know, set an alarm early, like wake up, brush my teeth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you going to have morning breath with like, the tooch?
No.
Like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. Yeah. Oh, I love him though so much.
I do too.
Yeah. But and I bet he doesn't expect that from you. You know what I mean?
No, he doesn't. You're putting the pressure on yourself because he would never.
No.
He would never put the pressure on you. But you would feel allegedly. But you would feel like you have to step up your game.
Yeah.
You would because you're like, the tooch gets up in the morning and does Peloton. You know?
Oh,
and
yes.
You're like, now I have to get up.
And do Peloton. And squeeze that fresh orange juice. Where in the other relationships, like Statham's doing that for you.
Yes. Yeah. The tooch gets up at 5 a.m.
And, you know, like Statham and The Rock, they're both working out.
Hold on.
But they definitely don't want you or expect you to.
Yeah. They're like, if you'd like.
If you want, for sure, pop in. But do not feel the pressure.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to be a lady that you want to be.
Yeah.
That's the kind of support I feel like I'm getting.
I feel like The Rock appreciates my curves.
That's right. I do too.
Yeah.
Yes. I do too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, yeah, he's like, yes, please.
You know what I also picture? This is very specific, but I feel like if you're pregnant with The Rock, like he is treating you like
precious gold.
He is rubbing your feet. Mm-hmm. He's rubbing oil on your belly. Mm-hmm. Like the Rock is like, he's taking
he's
care
solid.
Of you.
Yeah. He seems like, yeah.
What a well, nice daydream. Allegedly.
You guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Yes. Sure. And we're back. All right. I just took a giant gulp of Michelada right then.
I know. Like, right I saw my opportunity. I let it just slide.
Oh, my God.
Right
I know. We made eye contact. I thought you were going to swoop in there. I had to swallow that beer real fast. Christina, would you like to
I will off? Get us going. Okay. So I met a girl online and one night we got together and had dinner. The dinner was good, we had good conversation, and ended up back at her place. One thing leads to another, and we have sex. After we are done, she starts complaining about her hip hurting.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, she knocked it right out of joint.
She had mentioned she had some kind of hip issue earlier in the night. Over the next 30 minutes or so, her hip got worse and worse, so I ended up taking her to the emergency room. At the ER, she ends up getting into a big argument with the nurses and the doctor about how they are treating her hip issue. Since I have no idea what the issue is or what her medical past is.
This is a first date.
I mostly stay quiet, but I do tell the doctors and nurses about us sleeping together and her hip hurting after. Eventually, they write her a prescription for some pain meds and give her a pain shot in her hip, and she is released. By this time, it's about 2 a.m. We're both very tired, and I'm driving her home when I try to make it through a yellow light and hit the red halfway through.
No, ma'am.
And of course, there was a cop there, and I got pulled over. The officer asked for my info, and I asked her if she would grab the registration from the glove box. She snapped back, "I'm not involved in any of this shit."
Oh, I just I'm took sorry, you. Wait, I what? Spent my entire evening at the ER with you.
Ma'am. Which I am not involved in any of that shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Then just crossed her arms and sat there. The cop asked if she was okay. She said yes. And he asked for her ID, which she refused to give to him.
Oh, my. Like, this person seems like a nightmare. You're getting into fights with nurses and doctors and police officers. Like, okay.
I have a lot of questions about that drug-seeking behavior.
The cop takes my ID back to his car. A few minutes later, another cop car pulls up.
Ooh.
I am asked to step out of the car to talk to the cop who pulled me over. While I do that, the other cop goes to the passenger door to talk to her.
Oh, no.
The cop asks me if everything is okay because she seems agitated and scared. I told him about our date, tell him we were just at the hospital and she's in pain. My license is clear, so he tells me he will let me off with a warning. About that time,
they ran her license.
The girl starts screaming at the other cop. She is refusing to identify herself or give them ID. When they try to take her out of the car, she bites one of them and fights, ending up in handcuffs in the back of the car.
Oh, my God.
This blows my mind.
I thought your hip hurt, lady.
I am terrified. Like, I'm like, don't.
Don't. What are you doing?
What are you? They get her ID, and it turns out she has multiple arrest warrants.
There it is.
They arrest her and take her away, and I'm let go, and I head home. Over the next 48 hours, I would find out the girl had been arrested multiple times for drug and identity theft crimes. She had been arrested for pill shopping, which is exactly what she was using me for in the hospital. Several days later, I returned her phone to her because she had left it in my car, and she was pissed at me.
I'm mailing that shit back. Sorry. Yeah. We're not getting together in person ever again.
No.
She was pissed at me because I stopped for the police. She told me I should have just hauled ass when the cop pulled out.
Oh, my God.
You know what? Or you could have just gotten my registration out of the glove box, and we would have been moved on to the next immediately.
I mean... Oh my God. That whole story just made me so nervous because I've been pulled over multiple times and I'm like 10 and 2 on the wheel.
Yep.
Always so anxious, so like scared. Yes. The idea of like talking back to a cop or biting a cop.
Oh, but like, my God.
Now you got an assault charge, motherfucker.
Hi, this is America. You can't go biting cops.
No, you cannot. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I'm just like, can you imagine doing
No, I'd be like, please get her out of my car. Thank you.
It's scary out there, man. I can't imagine like dating. You don't know what you're going to get.
No,
it's just like that's basically okay. We're done now with this podcast because that's basically all you have to say. It's like you don't know what you're going to get. That's always how it's been.
I think that's why we have a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you think you're getting one thing and you're like,
geez. If you're lucky, it's just the puppets in the trunk.
Okay. You know? Thank you. Honestly, best case scenario.
Best case scenario, you get some guy who pulls puppets out of his trunk, surprises you with a puppet show.
Maybe he doesn't have a bed, but is that really the worst?
Is it the worst?
Is it the worst
I don't
date?
Think it is the worst day at this point.
Wow. Okay. I meet this guy for lunch. I show up and he pulls up beside me. The very second I get out of the car, he's nonstop showering me with complaints. He loves my outfit, my hair, my shoes.
You said complaints.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, okay, well, if you've got so many complaints, I will just take myself on home then.
No, nonstop showering me with compliments. Wow.
Love bomb.
Yes. He loves my outfit. He loves my hair, my shoes. He just knows that we're going to have an amazing time.
Okay.
This never stops. I was, according to him, the hottest, funniest, smartest, most incredible thing on the planet, and he would not stop letting me know it. It's like the opposite of last week's story.
Yes. But it makes me equally just as uncomfortable. Yeah, I'm going to side eye just as much. Like, why?
Yeah. Before the server can come back with our drink order, he had grabbed my arm across the table. Wow, you have no hair on your arms.
Okay.
Do you just like have any body hair? What the fuck? This smooth move segues him into caressing my arm and eventually attempting to hold my hand. This all happens within under 5 minutes.
Are you Gomez Adams? Like, I don't understand. Why are you? Please get off my arm.
Why are you touching me like this? When our server comes back, he made a weird joke about us going to the restroom together in front of her. I was mortified.
I wouldn't like that.
I don't like it. He then suddenly, and without provocation, decided to tell me that he loves eating pussy. It's his favorite thing.
Okey-dokey.
And he's really great at it.
Sure you are.
He insisted on sitting next to me after I said that I wasn't comfortable with it and asked him to stay across from me. He actually scoffed at me before he moved seats and...
No. Now you're pinned in.
I know, right? I stuck it out for the sheer sake of being polite, but once it became clear that he was actually married and looking for an affair, I had to nope the fuck out of there.
Okie dokie. I feel like took a turn.
Oh my goodness. And it's that's why the love bombing, all that stuff to make you
trying to win you over.
So you're like,
gross.
I hate it. Thanks.
Okay.
Hate it. So this is from someone who works at a restaurant.
Oh, I love these.
Yeah, I love these too, who got to witness a bad date. A few years back, I was working at Pizza Hut as a driver.
Yes.
We had the smallest store in the area, and there were no booths or tables for customers. You come in to pay and leave. Right?
Bye.
We've all been in, like, it's like you come in, you pick up your pizza, you fucking leave.
You get the fuck out. Yeah.
So there is one small bench, barely able to seat two inside the door. We all know what this looks like.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This couple, in quotes, probably freshmen, come in and the lad nervously orders a single medium pizza. The whole time ordering it, he was trying to be very literate and use a bunch of old English sounding phrases to sound appealing or smart or something. We've also met people like this, right?
God.
They're like, I'm like, sorry, this is not like Shakespeare. No. You're ordering a pizza at Pizza Hut.
My face is hot.
Fast forward the 10 minutes of cooking time he spent crammed on that tiny bench with the girl who was visually uncomfortable, but also either too polite or too nervous to leave. I was hoping, I was hoping they'd leave and take it to the car or to the park.
No. Nope.
But no, he started trying to hand feed her pizza on a bench too, on a bench too small to comfortably seat two.
No.
With 3 to 4 customers in line less than 2 feet from them and drivers constantly having to step over their legs to get out of the store.
Oh my God, that's so awkward.
It's so awkward. In between the cringy one another bite offers.
Nope. I'm all
he's
good.
Feeding her pizza.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
She was practically shaking at this point and closing her eyes out of embarrassment. That was a big mistake because he slips in for a kiss instead of pizza.
No.
Regrettably, it worked and she threw up on the rest of the pizza in his lap.
Oh, no.
She bolts and runs off. He tries to order another pizza to go because, quote, she didn't get to finish it. She'll like it if I bring her another.
Oh,
sweet
no.
baby.
Oh, no.
This baby. Poor girl.
Oh, my God.
Who obviously didn't want to be there. Why are you even on a date with this person?
Listen, like old school Pizza Hut back in the day was the J.
Can't say
it
enough.
It was so good.
Can't say it
awesome.
Enough.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
If you were in a show at school, where'd you go after?
Yeah.
Pizza Hut.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you were in a choir, where'd you go afterwards? Pizza Hut.
But this was clearly not at that time because like those Pizza Huts, like back in the day, like those Pizza Huts were sit down.
I don't think they exist anymore.
No. And occasionally you'll see like a building that you knew was a Pizza Hut because there was a very specific shape to them and now it's like a FedEx Kinko's.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You're like 100%. But at the time, I mean, like Pizza Huts were like sit down restaurants with like buffets.
Red booth.
Yes.
Right? And like the pizza was like decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that, oh God, that they had that buttery, crust, that one, that bowl.
So
God,
buttery.
That buttery crust.
Bitch.
Shit.
Oh my God, girl, so good.
And the pan pizza.
But this was obviously not that, like, you're sitting.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Why
I want pan pizza right
now. Like, it is not dine in.
No.
Why are you trying to hand feed her a piece of pizza?
My secondhand embarrassment makes me just literally, I like unzip my skin suit and walked out.
Oh, honey.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I have quite the tainted love story.
I am ready.
So. My tainted love was found in a feverish perusal of many different 48 hours episodes.
Amazing.
I mean, I know we've talked about it many times, but like I can't emphasize enough how hard it is sometimes to find a story. It's like,
because it's not just a crime or like a murder.
It's specific.
There has to be something specifically like about relationships or dating.
And
or
you don't want to do something that's like been done recently by like somebody else. Like it's like it's a lot sometimes.
Yeah.
You want to do something that like you're excited about too.
So I am going to be doing a story about the Children of Thunder.
I don't know what this is.
I can't fucking wait.
Okay.
This sounds like a call.
This sounds like everything. Okay. So Selena Bishop was a beautiful 22-year-old girl with many friends, especially close to her mother, Jennifer. Now, Jennifer Villarin had fallen head over heels in love many years earlier with Elvin Bishop, a famous blues rock guitarist. In fact, the song Fooled Around and Fell in Love was written about Jennifer.
Oh, Elvin. What an interesting first name.
You know that song, right?
Fooled around and fell in love.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Now that you've sang
that's
it,
about,
yes.
That's about Jennifer.
Aww.
So, however, she was not about that rock star wife life, and the romance crumbled, leaving her a single mother. A family friend claims the relationship between mother and daughter was extremely close, more of a best friend situation, and that Selena had grown into a responsible and driven young woman. She spent 2 years at an art school in PA before moving back up to the Bay Area, and she got a job waitressing at this like local cafe. Mm-hmm. They lived in like a small ish town, so like everybody knew each other and everyone knew Selena.
In the Bay Area.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
NorCal.
Yeah, NorCal. And so one night she went out to a rave with like some of her friends.
Like
and
you do.
She was dancing, feeling herself, having a good time when this tall, dark, handsome stranger.
You in danger, girl.
With his hair in a ponytail comes up.
I think I know this guy.
Strikes up a conversation with her.
Was it a lightning strike?
Was it?
Yes.
It was a thunder strike.
Thunder! He introduced himself as Jordan, and the two started dating pretty much immediately, with Selena bragging to all her friends and family about him. Now, her friends and family were a little uneasy about it for a couple of reasons.
I bet. Mm-hmm.
So I want you guys to pretend I come to you.
Okay. Okay. We're here for you.
You know I'm how the one who's going to side eye. Here we
I
go.
I am head over heels with this man named Jordan.
He sounds great.
Jordan. Mm-hmm. I met him dancing.
He's probably the one.
Tell me a little about him.
Okay. So he wouldn't tell her his last name, his phone number, or allow her to take pictures of him.
No. No. And what? I'm always the one who's supportive on these, but this one is a no
for
me.
What year did this happen?
2000.
No.
Nope. Where's MySpace? No. Nothing? No. 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 No.
No.
No. No. No.
No, we are in the 21st century. Sir. No, we're done.
All he's just Jordan.
And what's his name? Okay.
Oh, just Jordan. Of You're not Cher, all right?
Like, of course his name's Jordan, too, right?
You don't need to ask him personal questions about himself.
Okay, Sebastian.
Okay?
Come like, on. Ugh.
Leave me alone, Mom. No, I wish a motherfucker would with my friends. You know, if the...
Keegan and I would be showing up with our big hats and our big sunnies on, like in the corner. Like,
I mean, I will say that Amazon is trying to sell me via Facebook ads. They are trying to sell me binoculars that you don't have to hold on. They look like sunglasses. But they're like binoculars.
I
was like, I see. I see you seeing me.
FBI agent's like, you might want to try these.
Yeah. Listen.
Really get in good.
You might need these.
Yeah. On the job. So it was also imperative to him that he would not meet anyone important in her life.
What?
Okay.
What?
Who the fuck you think you are?
She's 20.
Jordan.
How old is she?
She's 22.
Okay.
So her mom was a little concerned and like got together with, and you know, Jennifer was like younger herself. She's like, I don't like this. I'm getting a bad vibe. Like, she moves out of her mom's house into a small studio apartment so she can spend more time with Jordan. And so her mom's like talking to her friend and is like, okay, I don't like this. Let's go check it out. Like, let's make up some excuse to go to her new apartment. I know they're together right now, just so I can get eyes on who this guy is.
Yeah.
And her friend's like, fuck yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. I
and your mom.
I can't tell you how uneasy this would make me feel. And I don't have kids, but if this was your kid.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Those,
you're
those
like,
mama
I'm getting
bear
eyes
instincts.
At least on this motherfucker. Uh-uh. Like, you want your kids to grow up to be independent and do their own thing, but at the same time.
If Dylan came to me and he's like, I'm dating Jordan. That's it. You can't know anything else.
last name, no phone number.
Nothing.
Not only you don't get to know anything else, I don't know anything else.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he's not telling me his last name. He's not telling me anything about, like, no.
I'd be like,
sorry.
Christina, we're going to go run over to Dylan's place.
Do you
place?
Know no. how fast my dad would lose his shit if he knew that I was dating someone and I said to my father, you can't know his, he doesn't want you to know his last name. Like, he'd be like, no, you got to run a background check on that motherfucker
right quick. Now. Yeah.
Oh my God. I couldn't tell my dad a word of any of this. My dad would be, well, of course, because my dad would already have had it investigated. He'd be like,
yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. I got connects. What's up?
What's up? So her and her friend decide to go over and ask Selena, like, can I borrow a blouse? Because they were like similar styles or whatever. And so she finally does like meet him, gets to catch him. And so her friend is like talking to Jennifer, like, what'd you think of him? Like, give me all the deets, girl. And she's like, he seems nice, you know.
Nondescript.
He ain't.
Because that's some sketchy.
I have a feeling he's not.
I have a feeling there's more to the story.
Yeah.
So she finally met and she's like, okay, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how this runs out, but my heckles are up. So Selena begins telling her friends and her mom that Jordan is going through a bad divorce, but that he's also getting ready to inherit a shit ton of money from his grandmother. So she mentioned that he had her open bank accounts in her name for him so that he could hide the money from his ex-wife, who was just being unreasonable.
Mm. Okay, I mean, also that, yeah. I sister solidarity, I'm never going to do something like that. Like, on your word, just like,
no.
Oh, she's nuts, and like, we have to hide this money from her. I'm like, that feels gross to me.
I don't like it.
Just period.
Yeah. Mm. Things seem to be going well, and the couple plan to go on a romantic camping trip to Yosemite.
No.
She asks her mom to house sit for her, and that's where everything falls apart. Now, on August 3rd, 2000, James Soliday woke to the sound of gunshots. A second later, he heard footsteps racing outside and the roar of a getaway car. He ran downstairs and into Selena's apartment, only to find two bodies unmoving on the bed, and he places a panicked phone call to 911. Police arrive to find Jennifer Villarin and her friend James Gamble shot dead. The next day, Annette Steinman and her husband Ivan were reported missing by their daughter, who had been trying for a few days to reach them. They had been married for 55 years and were comfortably retired, with a ton of money in their bank account. After breaking into the house, police were unable to find any trace of the Steinmans except for Ivan's gold watch, which looked like it had been ripped apart on the couch. Police were stumped as to where the elderly victims would have run off to, but didn't immediately suspect foul play. That was also the day that they get a phone call from Selena's coworkers. They can't find her. She's missing. She was supposed to be at work back from her camping trip, and she hasn't shown up. So they've got, and this is like a small Bay Area thing, they've got a missing elderly couple, they've got two dead bodies, and a missing girl. And so they're like, okay.
They're like, it's Monday. Can we ease into our week? Like, Jesus. Like, first thing on a Monday.
Looks like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Am I right? I
haven't even had my coffee yet.
So police search Selena's phone records. They don't find a Jordan. However, they did find a number she called frequently that was registered to a Justin Helzer. When they dig a little deeper on Justin, they find that he had recently purchased a 9mm gun, the same caliber used in the killing of Selena's mother and her friend. When they go talk to Justin is when it all breaks open.
Okie dokie.
So, police get to the Helzer house, and a dude opens the door. They're asking after Justin, and this guy's like, yeah, that's my brother. You know, that kind of thing. They're like, can we, you know, come in and talk to you? Like, yeah, They go in. There's drug paraphernalia everywhere.
Yeah, like, sure,
there's
come like on in.
Mushrooms, ecstasy.
You don't think like, hey, maybe we should like
clean them
all up. Like, would you mind just standing on the porch for like five?
Took a fiver.
Come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll come out here.
The police are like, yeah, y'all are under arrest. And so there's three people in the home at that time. Don Goodman, Taylor Helzer. Well, his name's Glenn Taylor Helzer, but he goes by Taylor, mm-hmm. and Justin Helzer. So, like, we're going to come down to the station. We're going to mm-hmm. figure out you're under arrest for possession.
Yeah, how and stupid.
Sort of yeah. To just,
way to get yourself arrested.
Dude, also,
arrested.
If I'm in the house and I know there's cops at the door, there is a back door, right?
Yeah.
Said place.
Well, funny that you mentioned that because Taylor found that back door. And as they're arresting him, Taylor takes off. He's out in the neighborhood. He's running. He is running from the cops, jumping over fences and stuff like that.
Parkour.
He is parkouring his way into a neighbor's house. He threatens this neighbor, like, to try to help him, like, disguise himself. So she gives him her husband's clothes. He uses a knife to cut his ponytail off.
Wow.
And then he's jumping fences and jumps right into the arms of a cop.
So he's caught anyways. Absolute dumb piece of shit.
Why wouldn't you have just stayed where you were? They're not, I mean, what, they're going to canvass the neighborhood, but they're not going to go into every house.
Right.
Just see where you're at, no?
Yeah. So
listen,
they're not very smart.
Take advice from me. Don't.
They are under arrest for those charges. They're going to talk to them about what they know about Selena. Well, another call comes in to the station because there are 9 black duffel bags that were found in a river. Completely filled with body parts.
No. 9.
I was hoping it was going to be money. I'm not going to lie.
Me
and
too.
It is drugs. Just mixed and matched pieces.
Oh my God. Imagine you're the person that found that.
Oh,
terrifying.
My God.
Right?
You
That's
never
the
sleep
scariest
again.
Never. Thing I've ever heard
you
in my life.
You never sleep again.
Ever. So.
What a Monday. Huh?
Right.
Still. Jesus We're still on Monday, Christ. Right? Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
Still on the same day.
Yeah. So they're like, this is a lot. Okay, what the fuck is going on here? So they start digging into the Helzer past. So I'm going to tell you about Justin and Taylor Helzer. Normal kids. No one who
in
knew
quotes. In quotes.
The
quotes,
Helzer boys as children suspected they'd grow up to be what they ended up being. Raised by devout Mormon parents in Martinez, a cozy town 50 minutes drive northeast of San Francisco, the Helzers had a relatively normal childhood. Now, Glenn, who went by Taylor, was the charming, gregarious older brother. Justin was more introverted, but he was a member of the high school wrestling team and youth group leader at their church. Now, here's the other thing. I listened to a podcast episode called Cults, and they were talking about, they were like very devout Mormons. But more than that, Taylor's grandfather used to tell the family that like Jesus would come up to his porch and have conversations with him.
Okay.
And... Taylor's parents believed the grandfather.
Of course. They
Wait,
did.
So what you're telling me is that Jesus has not come to your porch?
Yeah. That's an every Sunday.
I thought that was common.
We have
well,
tea
when
and
you
crumpets.
See, when you see two footprints, it's actually.
Stop it. Stop it.
He was carrying you
was
all
carrying
along.
You.
All along.
On the porch.
Oh, on the porch.
So. So Taylor got to learn like soups early that like if you tell people that you talk to Jesus, you get special treatment, right? Okay. So
I see where this is going. Prophet. Yes,
oldest brother, and so he begins to get
visits
soups
on the porch.
In to religion. He's like, guess what, Mom? Jesus talks to me too,
and she's like,
and she's
oh my
like,
God.
That's awesome. You're amazing, and they just drill into Justin the whole time. Like you listen to your brother. Always follow your brother. Your brother's special. He's got something going. He was on the fast track, too. By the time he was like 15, 16, he was already like a priest in the LDS. That's what they called. Like he went to Brazil on a missionary trip and he had.
I did watch the 48 hours on this.
Yes.
Okay.
He had a knack for convincing people. And then he started to believe that something was messed up with the Mormon religion. The second coming was happening. Jesus told him, and in his head, he didn't say Jesus, it was spirits. Spirit told me that the second coming is going to happen and we need to be warrior priests because that the Mormon faith is like falling apart. We need to be warrior priests.
Is this what Lori Day was part of?
Oh, I mean, sounds like it. So his brother was like, okay, I'm supposed to follow you. You know, you know
Mommy
better.
And daddy
Mommy
told
daddy
me.
Told me too. And they end up meeting Don Goodwin, who's, it's such a sad story because when you have somebody that has been diagnosed like as a narcissistic personality disorder and a sociopath, they can identify people that are in crisis.
And vulnerable.
And vulnerable. Mm-hmm. People that, and he's just
and they prey on that
skilled manipulator. Not mm-hmm. only that, his mother helped him out and did him one solid by putting him in this like self-help seminar thing.
Oh, it no. Made me how think to meet friends and influence people. Mm.
Yeah, it was called like Impact America or something like that. And it is just like, it literally taught him everything he needed to know about how to break down people.
Wow. That's the thing about stuff like that. Like they always say that, like they say that Charles Manson, it was that book, How to Make Friends and Influence People, like which can be very good for people who are trying to figure out how to navigate socially.
Yeah. Who aren't sociopaths.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the hands of a sociopath or a narcissist, it's very dangerous. Yeah. Because it's like, here's how to prey on people, essentially.
Yeah. Ooh. So she was somebody that had gone through a divorce, was like at one point living in her car, had attempted suicide. She was at a Mormon murder mystery party. And she's Taylor, who was described as like good looking, charismatic, gregarious, made a beeline for her. Yeah. And she was, you know, mousy and not conventionally attractive and like was blown away that a man like Taylor was talking to her. And she was just like,
who are too good looking.
That's right. Then this is when it helps to have low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, no, I don't trust this whatsoever.
I don't like it.
In fact, I'm going to run the other way. If you're too good looking and you're approaching me, I'm like, I don't trust this. I don't trust this at all.
I don't want to buy that.
It doesn't take long before like Dawn is under Taylor's wing and is pretty much like willing to do whatever he wants to do. Now his plan is to get a bunch of Brazilian orphans, train them as an army to take over the Mormon church.
Why? Why?
I have questions.
So many.
Please. You know, it's
where to
it's
start.
Where to start?
Children.
Yeah.
Is it like a war? Like,
is this like a 20-year plan? You're going to get kids and then like
with weapons training?
Well, the other part of his plan was that they needed money to make this happen. Yeah. Sure. You can't make, it's an ambitious plan, right?
Yeah, I mean, adoption is expensive.
Correct.
So
we got to have money for it. Now, before he was a warrior priest for the Children of Thunder, he worked for Morgan Stanley with people's retirement accounts.
Oh, goody.
And that's where the Steinmans came in that they were one of his clients. And he happened to know how much money they had in the bank account.
It's an I care a lot situation. Rosamund Pike is just waiting in the wings.
Right. All right. So he's like told Justin and Dawn about his plan to finance their warrior priest project to take over the Mormons, that he was going to find a girl to make her fall head over heels in love with him and use her to launder money from one of his old clients, kill all of them, do that as many times as possible until they had the money that they needed to start their plan. And he told them that, like, his point of view was there is no right or wrong. There's only results. And it's not wrong if you're doing it for the greater good. And you're doing it if spirit is telling me that we need to do this to prevent Satan from winning, then you're on the side of right. So even if it's violent, it doesn't matter. It's for the right. And they bought it big time.
Wow.
So that's how, I mean, it unravels quickly from there. You know, once the body parts are discovered, police talk to neighbors, other people associated with Helzers, and they actually have to get a cult deprogrammer to come in and talk to Don in order to, they realize quickly on like what a hold he has over her. It takes time, but the full scope of the story, it starts with them, you know, seducing Selena, who had no idea any of this was going on. They kidnap the Steinmans and are pretty much like, what they did and how they thought they were going to get away with this is ridiculous, because they kidnap them. They make them write checks out for a total of $100,000. They call the bank and they're like, yeah, you know, my name's Selena and my grandparents are writing me checks for $100,000 so I can get a surgery that I need to get. And they're like, okay, well, just bring in identification or whatever. You can cash the check. So they dress Dawn up in like this giant country hat. What do you call it? Cowboy hat? Cowboy hat.
Country hat.
They put her in a wheelchair and like some kind of weird garish disguise.
So you're drawing more attention to yourself.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. Like the bank manager that they ended up
that's weird.
Interviewing later was like, yeah, no, it was weird from the start. I put a hold on the checks and it was very memorable because it was such a strange thing.
Whereas
so I remember
just like come in.
Yeah. Normal. Yeah.
Done the least.
Yes. They did the most.
They did the most. Literally.
And also, can I just say, like, what a fucking nightmare to be in. Like, this stuff is terrible regardless, but when you're old, it's like you've lived your whole life.
Yeah.
And you're just ready to chill. You know, for this to happen, for something so terrifying to happen to you when, like, you're old.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine. Horrible.
And it's the most. And, you know, Taylor was managed to keep his hands mostly clean and made Justin do a lot of the dirty work, especially with the dismembering of the bodies. But after they take care of that, he goes and like takes care of Selena. And it's just sad because you read articles at that time while it was happening, while Selena was missing, there were some people that were like, is she in on this? Like her mom's dead, like that sort of thing, all the speculation. And she was not. She was a pawn in this incredibly ridiculous,
elaborate scheme.
The whole Children of Thunder thing comes from a passage, and it's supposedly Sons of Thunder is the Bible passage. But
he's
because
like, let's
Dawn,
make it a little more progressive.
Yeah, being inclusive.
Yeah.
Dawn was there, so it's Children
Diversity.
Of Thunder.
Yeah. Representation matters.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. So, yeah, and as for, where was I? The Dawn thing, they get arrested. They're figuring it out. They put the pieces together, so they go to trial. And everyone's convicted. I think Dawn got the lightest sentence of all because they had the cult programmer and she testified against them. So she got like 38 years.
Wow.
Both of the brothers got death sentences.
Oh, wow.
So Taylor is still on death row.
Gruesome
Justin
murders.
Spent time in prison. And really, there's not a lot on it, but just from what I'm seeing, it looks like he really took it hard. That he...
Justin's the Jordan.
No, Taylor is the Jordan.
Okay.
So Taylor pled guilty and was like, yeah, I did that. And they sentenced him to death. Justin's lawyers tried to say, like, he lived under the shadow of his brother and, like,
manipulated. I will say, like, I mean, by no means should he not have to suffer the consequences of his actions. He absolutely should. But like, I can't, I mean, his parents growing up in like a highly religious household mm-hmm. where your parents are telling you like,
yeah,
this is, it's God's will essentially for yeah. you to do what your brother tells you to do.
Yeah.
It would be tremendously difficult. Like yeah. It would be really hard. And I'm by no means saying that like he shouldn't have been sentenced to what he was sentenced to. But I also do believe, having grown up in a very religious world, mm-hmm. I could see that yeah. happening. Like,
yeah. Well, it gets, he was in prison and I don't know if it was remorse or just the totality of everything or just being on death row in San Quentin, which sounds mm-hmm. fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So he tries to commit suicide in like 2013 by using a pen to gouge his eyes out.
Oh, that's not the way to do it.
God.
Whoa.
Yeah, which blinds him and gives him brain damage.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't work. He lives through that first attempt. He was successful on his second attempt by hanging himself with a sheet. So Justin Helzer is no longer with us, but his brother Taylor is still on death row, which is, and there are a lot more details about the Children of Thunder thing. That is the most gruesome I decided to share because it is a very,
wow.
like, very Ooh-wee. Intense story. Like T to B, and the podcast episode, it's a Parcast podcast. Cult is so, if you are
real in depth,
it's very
that's interesting,
very in depth. And so there's a lot more. They talk to a lot more people about the crime and a lot of stuff that's involved. But the thing that stuck out to me was just like how terrible it is. Like this young, beautiful woman, Selena, who got really excited, met a guy at a party. Like, don't ignore those red signs, flags,
that's right.
those
that's right.
signs.
If your intuition will tell you if something mm-hmm. isn't right, and like, you know,
I not knowing somebody's last name is a
big
pretty
one,
big fucking red flag.
It yeah. is. It's a big one. Yeah. I mean,
I don't care how good looking you are.
Yeah, and it's like, it's one thing if it's like, oh, okay, like, whatever, it's like a one-night
it's
stand,
a hook,
yeah.
but it's a hookup,
but if you're going to start dating somebody,
yeah. it's different.
It's got to be two-sided. You can't yeah. you can't date somebody that's not going to give you their last name.
No.
It didn't even give her his real first name.
I mean, yeah. I always, you know, every time
and I just assume you're married.
Yeah, well, or yeah, something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When we talk about tainted love stories, though, like, It always just highlights to me how wild those feelings are, like how wild those feelings of love can be.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That just make you abandon
reality.
Common sense. Yeah. yeah. Just like common sense reality. Because it's easy to look at it from the outside and be like, what?
Oh, yeah. Moving in with somebody that you've only been dating for a couple of months, raising your hand here. Like,
yeah.
you yeah. get lucky when it works out. You right. get unlucky when it doesn't, you know?
And you just don't, like, you don't always
know. But you
know.
Knew Eric's last name before you moved in, right?
I did. Okay. I did. That's I did enough. Have that going for
did,
me.
You did.
You'd actually already met his dad, I think, at
yes.
this point. Yeah.
It, yes. So there was that, which yeah. is which was good. But I mean, yeah, it's just like those feelings are so strong and they're not always rational.
Well, especially in your early 20s. Mm.
Right. You got hormones and other things. Your frontal lobe isn't fully developed. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things. But yeah, I mean, it's just, these stories always make me think that it's just so wild
mm-hmm.
how somebody who is otherwise smart mm-hmm. and rational and like great in every other like aspect of their life can fall apart.
Oh yeah.
Over something like this, just because it doesn't make sense.
That's how whole like Love is Blind.
I mean, yeah.
It really is. What you have an excuse for everything. When you're head over heels, you're like, oh, you just excuse it away, yeah. you know,
yeah.
instead of really being very critical or, you know,
this is fine.
This yeah. is fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Ooh. He doesn't need a last name.
It's fine because yeah. he makes me feel good.
Children yeah. of Thunder.
Wow. Oh.
It's Wooey Wowie. I had never heard of them
before. Never heard actually, any of this.
Until that 48 hours.
Wow. I had seen, I don't know if it was the 48 hours, but I think it was like ID did a show on cults or something, but I had probably. Seen it.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah. And it is,
Don't love it.
It's not my favorite.
No.
I love that you did that story. That was great.
You're not going to take down the Mormons with Brazilian orphans. No. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it's not a great plan.
It feels like a very. Yeah.
It feels like maybe plan. You didn't think it through.
Yeah. Entirely. Like it feels like maybe there were some missing pieces. Components.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Keegan, you and I both kind of work in project management. So like you take a big goal like that. You got to break it down.
You work
in
your
concrete
way
steps.
Backwards. Yeah. We've had this conversation. Mm-hmm. You figure out what your goal is.
That's right.
And then you figure out what steps need to be completed on your way to that goal. And then you work backwards, setting tasks and timelines. That's how you accomplish
feel
it.
Like yeah. also doing a bunch of mushrooms and ecstasy
not
whilst
the way
trying
to do it
to come up with that said plan.
No,
you're like, I got big ideas, man. Like, no.
I feel like it wasn't microdosing either. Like the kind that just
no.
Yeah, no.
And also I think that this is part of why like LSD and mushrooms I can't. Because I'm like, it's also just such a huge time suck.
Yeah.
Because it's like if you don't get
that back,
you are gone for like 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your day is gone. Okay. You don't
lost
have time to plan
no
anything else. Like you're just it's you gotta just be okay with the fact that like nothing's getting done today.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like no.
Woo.
And I have such a shit memory. I need somebody there just to be transcript
yes,
for me.
Exactly.
Like you just stay sober and I'm just gonna give you a bunch of ideas.
Well, you know what? I bet you his brother Jordan would have done that.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna go on a trip. Whatever I mumble, just write it down.
Yep.
And
yep.
we'll review when I come back to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I didn't even know you can call it a cult because it was three people.
Right?
But
I was just thinking that. I'm like, where are the rest of them?
But they gave themselves a name. So I feel like that
counts.
But they got
the orphans from Brazil.
They didn't get that far.
They didn't get that far.
They never made it.
That's part of
it. They put it down.
On the to-do.
On to-do list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never got done.
They never got that check mark in. No. Got it.
And there's a bunch of other stuff, too, that they planned. Jeez. They planned another way for them to get money was for them to, like, run an escort service or something like
Which
that.
Which is Dawn.
Just I mean, Dawn alone.
It's It's, I think, a plan that you come up with when you're doing a bunch of mushrooms with the backgrounds mm-hmm. that they had. So, yeah.
Well,
okay.
Okey-dokely.
Okey-dokely.
Well, what are you guys watching?
Well, to be in the spirit of radical transparency, we are recording this back-to-back. We had to do two because I am flying home to Ohio, whisking myself away to the pleasant shores of Galleon.
Shores of the landlocked state of Ohio.
The Great Lake State.
So we have not watched anything between recording one episode and the next, but is there any kind of media content that you guys want to talk about?
Well, I withheld a show in the last episode specifically for this purpose. I did start watching Collateral, which is not the Tom Cruise movie, which I looked directly at.
I didn't know.
Cassie.
I don't even know what that is.
There's a Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx movie called Collateral.
Oh,
yes,
got
it's
it.
Not that. It's not that.
Got it. But it's a show, right?
It's a show. Okay. It's a limited series on Netflix with Carey Mulligan.
Yeah.
And
love her.
Just started it. Only watched one episode, but so far so good. I like it. It's a procedural kind of show. British procedural.
Perfect.
And I'm digging it so far. So yeah.
Nice.
Not really anything. That's okay too.
I did watch something that I wanted to talk about and I can't place it. It's something you mentioned. Oh, it's the one with the Riverside.
Oh yes. Why Did You Kill Me?
Yes. I saw Why Did You Kill Me. Christine, it's everything you surmised from the
I watched it.
You
too.
Did watch it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, chat about it a little bit.
It's underwhelming.
It you know, it It is. I was underwhelmed because I'm like, you could have expanded. That's right. I want to know more about it. It could have been a series. It's actually only like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
So it's.
Did we tell our listeners what this is about?
Why Did You Kill Me is the story of a young girl who was in a car at the wrong place, wrong time, victim of a drive-by shooting. And the mother decides to go on a campaign to using her niece on MySpace to lure the killers into confessing.
Which sounds very like compelling.
It is. Dude, but I'll tell you who's the unsung hero of that piece is the niece.
Yeah.
How much worse I was like, she did everything. Child.
She did it all. She did it all. And she like killed herself to do it. Like she's, I mean, you can see
very emotionally intelligent.
Okay, she's a baby. She's yes. like young, like preteen,
having right? to pretend that she is her dead aunt, cousin,
right? Yeah, something, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The thing is that here's what I will say is that besides the niece, there's not many people to empathize with. Or root for. That's the hard, you know, like, cause it kind of like the more you open up the case, the more you kind of find out like they were part of something that was also tied to this thing. And it kind of, I'm not saying anybody asked for it. Like that's not where I'm going with this, but it just feels like she was dead set on finding who these people were, but also they weren't willing to kind of own their own role
part in it.
In what may have brought that demise to their doorstep.
Right.
That was
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you say, because I had planned on watching it.
It was an interesting watch. It's an hour and a half. I think it's worth it. It's short. But it's definitely not my.
You're not going to write home about it. Yeah. It's not going to go in your diary tonight.
There are going to be better true crime docs.
Right.
There's a lot out there right now. And I think that's maybe why I landed on watching it.
But same.
Yeah. I mean, because there's not a ton available right now. So I think that, listen, it's fine. It just, it's really hard, minus like the actual victim and the cousin. There's
I'm
going to
watch Murder by the Mormons instead. That one.
Kind of think you want to watch that too.
You know, there's a show that I want to watch on
there's
Netflix.
An art one too.
I saw that one. Oh, yes. Of course I did.
Yeah.
There's a show, I think it's in French. It's called Serpent. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that one. That's on my list of things to watch on Netflix.
Is that a true
crime? It's based on a true story, but it is a scripted show.
Yes.
So okay. like I kind of want to watch that one too. So there's things on my list. It's just been really hard.
And
in the time that I have, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. In the time that I have, how heavy do I really want to get? You know, like I could have been watching all of the Oscar nominated movies. The only movie I've watched in the last 2 weeks is Godzilla vs. Kong. Oh, so that should tell you about where I'm at mentally.
Where are you watching the Oscars?
Where? Mm-hmm. We hadn't even discussed it. I haven't seen anything, so like
I've seen
definitely
it all.
Gonna be
I'm
watching
filling out my ballot.
I'm gonna watch it. Who's doing the? Someone is directing it. Is it Soderbergh? Somebody is like directing.
I think it's
the
Soderbergh.
Oscars.
Yes.
Oh well,
because
now
no
I'm
one is allowed to
wear
be on
a mask.
Zoom. No one's allowed to be on Zoom. They're doing it all like.
Oh, that's right. No Zoom.
Like they're having bubbles in different cities, so like they've so that nobody kills Anthony Hopkins. You know, like they have a bubble.
Oh my God, you definitely
in the UK, in Daily Zeitgeist, that's what they said. But that's exactly why is like they don't want to have everyone in one place. But he also was like, I will only direct this if it's not on Zoom because everybody has Zoom fatigue.
Yeah,
I mean, but also
true, but also fully fatigued by Zoom. Triggered, can't play Jackbox games.
No,
can't.
No, and they're fun, but
Eric got the Nintendo Switch, so I'm gonna be honest about my dorkery. We've been obsessed with playing Risk.
Oh, God. Wait, literally never played it.
I hear you.
I grew up, and my dad was a savage when it came to Risk.
You
did not give a fuck that we were like 6 years old.
No, you have to be.
He would be
like, I'm coming for your shit.
Literally, wipe us off the map.
You have to be. That's how you have to play that game. Yeah. Take no prisoners.
Dude, I am a champion at that game.
That game,
unstoppable.
But it lasts like 5 hours. Like Risk is like the longest game of all time.
It's not that bad when you're playing it like digitally. You don't have to do like the setup and stuff like that. It's been lasting us like an hour and a half, like right when on. We play or whatever. All right, but all right. I don't know why. You know, it's just we're towards the end of this thing.
Yeah. We're running out of things to do.
So we're like,
let's 100. Play Risk. Whoa!
100%. Like I was just talking to Anthony about like the various phases of quarantine we went through, where it was like karaoke phase, hook up the old Wii and play Wii tennis phase.
Oh, yeah.
Like there have been so many phases of like
Jackbox games.
Jackbox games and Zoom parties. That one fizzled out.
Very
quickly. You know, playing Rummy until one of you gets mad and then you don't play Rummy for another 3 months. You know, like just the various phases of like, there's only two of us in this house. How are we going to keep each other occupied?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm done with, you know, television for the most part. There's nothing else to do. And so, we've definitely gone through our different games, but we're on Risk right now.
We're all very near to fully vaxxed. I'm fully vaxxed. Christina, you're too. Fully vaxxed. Cassie, you've had your second shot, so you're close. Like we are almost there. The end is in sight.
Yes.
Keep it together. Keep it together. A little bit longer. Everybody, we're almost there, y'all.
So. Yeah.
If you have stories because you're venturing out into the world, you've got those heels on, girl, you are looking
you look good, snatched, you are looking
amazing, hot, going out on that date, and then it turns out he has puppets in his car.
But it could be worse.
It could be worse.
Just saying.
Give us that story.
Go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com, and we love you so much.
Cheers.
This is a Glassbox Media Podcast.